Welcome to the national premiere of Small Talk, direct from the showboat Branson Bell in Branson, Missouri. I'm Rod Kettleman. Now here's the guys who like to talk about your family, Gary, Greg, and Michael Smalley.
Well, thank you very much. We realize this is our very first radio show right here from Branson, this great city. So we're just excited to be a part of this and go for years talking about how we can strengthen marriages, strengthen families, strengthen relationships in any way we can. And we're going to normalize how having conflicts in all of our relationships are doorways to intimacy. So we're going to explain that through the years, we're going to look forward to hearing from you, questions and comments. So we're excited about being here.
Well, we have about 700 of our closest friends here in attendance with us tonight to liven the show and to ask all your questions. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I'm excited about is that what we're really trying to do is we've asked a live audience to be at each one of the tapings because we want to get some real problems and just be able to interact with a live audience. And I know because over the years, as we do the seminar,
our audiences really don't have problems.
That's true. No. This one doesn't.
At least not problems exactly, like we
right.
have.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
But over the years through the seminar, we've just wanted an opportunity to really take some of the what we teach at the seminar to a new and deeper level. And so that's, again, why we're excited about doing this. And you know what? Why I'm excited about being here in Branson and doing this? You know, one of the contributions Branson has made in the world?
No, what is that?
Tell us.
It's actually answered the question, is Elvis still alive? Because if Elvis was alive, he'd have a show in Branson,
that's
Missouri.
True.
So
it is true.
So we now are confident that Elvis
it's official.
Is dead.
That's
it's
true.
Official.
And for all these years, I have wanted to be more in touch with literally now millions of people that have been through our seminar or watched our videos and so on. We've never really been able to stay in touch with them so they could have questions that they'll email us.
Absolutely.
Or call an 800 number and ask those questions that we can address right on radio.
You know, another thing that we're going to do is we're going to actually from time to time bring a couple on who have talked to us ahead of time that wanting to discuss whatever issue, and we're going to actually help them out right on live radio.
I think what's amazing about that is so many people, especially in my own counseling practice, come into counseling and they feel completely alone. They feel like we are the only couple in the world that is dealing with this issue. And that is such a hurtful position to be in because, you know, there's no camaraderie, there's no hope, because you don't think anyone's ever made it through this. And what we intend through this show and with these couples that we will invite is to normalize that for everyone. Because it's all of you and it's the people in our listening audience that will say, wow, I can't believe I'm not the only one struggling with this. And then they'll be able to hear us take a couple through to resolution of whatever they're dealing
with. And we feel secure because we know that we are normal. We know that we go through this similar.
I don't know how secure I am in that.
Okay, I've taken my medicine already today.
Oh, good. We're heavily medicated.
What I realize is that we have been through just about everything that every other family's been through, every other marriage. The single things that you guys went through before you were married. And so we pretty much know the typical things, but we want to show that these things are not only advantageous, but they are the doorways to deeper relationships. I mean, we will go through very similar disagreements, conflicts, as a matter of fact.
How
we have several
been?
Of them today, you know, getting ready for this show. And it's normal, but we know how to repair any kind of damaged relationship. And so that's what in fact, tonight, the very first show, what we want to talk about is why couples and people who are engaged or just friends or at the workplace, why we get into these difficult conflicts, because each one of us are unique, different, come from totally different backgrounds, our opinions are different, and we are going to have disagreements and conflict is going to be normal, but we're going to show you how to use those normal things for the future.
Well, what I hear you saying is that you don't have to be perfect. And that what a load that takes off of our backs is that we
well,
all
speak
know,
for yourself.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I don't have to be perfect, I guess I should say. Yeah. But the reality is we're not perfect. And
right.
We're going to make mistakes in our relationships. And the great thing about this radio show and our website at smalley.cc is that people will learn that when you make mistakes, that will only drive you deeper in your relationships, and it'll only make you better. So go out there, live life to the fullest, learn how to repair when you do make mistakes, and you will find intimacy that you never imagined.
Now, Neil, as a company, we've actually, what I'm excited about is we have a mission that's basically, it says that we are wanting to enthusiastically motivate couples to reach the deepest levels of intimacy and remain there for a lifetime of honor. And I know something that you do at the live seminar that I think is fantastic, because what you do is you, right off the bat, you talk about a unity candle. And as we're starting even to talk about couples, I mean, what a great place to begin, but talking, you know, sharing what you do at the seminar with the unity candle and why you do that.
Well, the reason I use the unity candle, because a lot of couples, how many of you just here in the live audience have used that unity candle in your marriage? You know, we have the two on the outside, yeah, most of you. And right, and so somebody just...
It's a newly married couple, so that's why they're smiling so yeah. much up there.
And so anyway, what we realize is that the two outside candles represent two individuals that have decided to marry. And so what they've done is they've come... 70% of couples still get married in churches. And so what they've decided to do is that they have this middle candle. It's usually a little larger in the middle. And they light the two outside candles as the ceremony goes on. And then they do their vows, pray. And then they, after they've committed themselves to one another, they take those outside candles. They light the unity candle, the one in the middle, with those two outside candles. And then they blow out the individual candles. Now, some couples decide to leave them on, and that invites the in-laws to be more involved in their marriage. And if you don't want to do that, then you want to make sure you blow that candle out. But, and so if you blow it out, you have one candle, okay? Marriage is about two unique individuals uniting into a team and weaving together into one candle, and that happens through disagreements and conflicts. How many of you feel like you married somebody that has a different opinion about most everything? Let me see your hands, okay? That's everybody there,
yeah.
Okay?
Right. How many of you have married someone?
My wife is right in the front row, and she raised both hands.
Yeah. Or how many of you married someone that has different driving habits than you do? Yes.
My wife has both hands up again.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. Yeah. I know that we all usually have different cleaning styles as well. So my wife and I actually were in the middle of a conflict just today in regards to our cleaning styles. So our styles are that I don't clean and she cleans. So, you know, that does tend to drive some
people
crazy.
I certainly couldn't relate to that. I know that's funny that both of us should happen to get the same arguments in the same day. Cause
yeah, Dad,
my wife.
What does that mean?
Yeah, where did we learn these habits from?
I am
is the just better
exactly
question.
Like you, so I feel like I mentored you maybe in how to keep the house
yeah,
up.
Thanks a lot.
In fact, in my home, when we had to have a cleaning person come once a week, my wife used to make all of us clean up the house before the cleaning person
yes.
got there.
You know what? We used to get in a weekly argument over that because yes. I just, my brain, and especially when we get into the more specific personality types for the next show tomorrow, my brain is wired that I can't understand. My wife even just today was saying, you know, the entire lawn is a disaster, the house is a disaster, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't know what she's talking about.
That's right.
And, you know, she's saying toys are strewn about, and I'm thinking, what toys?
Well, we used to think that my wife had a thing going with the cleaning lady that the cleaning lady was awarding prizes or ribbons for the cleanest house that she went to clean.
She was a judge.
She was a judge.
She wasn't
that's
a cleaning
I mean.
Lady. She was a judge.
Yeah, that's it, right.
Yeah.
It was difficult getting that out.
That was a hard one for you, but hey, we'll push through.
It's my age.
It's yeah. I don't want to take that any further than it needs to go. We'll
so it's obvious right just there. It's obvious from everybody's response and even our own experience that we are different and we marry someone clearly who's different. But here's the interesting part. Is when we start talking about the different candles who are coming together to make one, what makes up these different candles? You know, things like gender differences, you know, personality difference, societal difference, even family of origin.
You know, the average man has 20 times more testosterone than the average woman. 20 times more. That's why they found... And this correlates.
And he's looking at me. I don't know why.
It's because you got a lot of testosterone.
Oh, thanks.
No, but what they found is that's the reason why men, for example, are 20 times more liable to commit a crime, robbery and different
things. And again,
things.
He looks at me.
Yeah.
I have no history.
Yeah, this is all out loud, don't forget. Yeah, so.
So anyway, what I'm saying is that there are every cell in a man's body is different than every cell in a woman's body. So you're going to have these two people coming together that are tremendously different.
Oh, amazingly different. I mean, and you...
Listen to this fact.
Yes.
For a woman... Yes, okay. Think of this. A woman's physical intimacy need increases 500% in a marriage if there is meaningful and loving communication.
Amen.
The women are saying amen out there in the audience.
Can we take a break? Because I'm going to call my wife real quick. So,
honey, I love you and I care about you.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, that's just gender differences. Then you've got all the rest of those differences.
Yeah, oh, I mean, so there's many. I mean, we could spend a whole show.
Well, you
just
grow up in an entire family system where, you know, one family might have resolved things, you know, that they had friends over every Christmas, where another family might never have had friends, and it was just a real intimate time with just the family. And, you know, you bring in these family histories, and they just clash. And typically, before a couple even gets married, they don't spend a lot of time preparing and discussing these kinds of issues that might arise, because we just think that naturally we're going to know what it takes to have a great relationship. And then when you get married, you quickly learn that actually you know nothing about what it takes.
And later we want to ask our audience to share some stories about how different they are.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some unique things that are make them different, and maybe even how they've solved one or two of those things.
See, it's the wedding cake. As soon as we eat that, it makes us forget everything that we should have known by that time. So
that's true. There is something in the wedding cake that actually takes place.
Yeah. Would you like to share what that is? I'm not sharing that one. I'm already looked upon badly. So.
You know, it's funny, Michael, as you talked about family of origin issues, that I know one of the surprising things that I found out early on in my relationship with Aaron is that we had such differences in the way that we even understood money. You know, I came from a family, we saved a lot of, you know, whatever we were earning, we were saving that.
We did?
We did.
We did?
I don't remember that part.
I remember it costing me a lot of money to have you two.
I remember spending.
That's right.
Yeah. Did you get money,
saving.
Michael?
Is that I don't want to talk about that right now.
Oh, great. Well, we can talk about this later
I did
after
save.
The show.
I did save so a lot of money.
But Aaron came from a family where they, you know, they spent also a lot of what they earned. And that was so clearly different. I remember on our honeymoon summer, as we were able to kind of go around and camp from different places, that we each gave an X amount. We said we could spend this much and you can spend this much. And I'll never forget the first time I walked into an antique store. I wanted to spend all my money because there was an antique that I had to have. And she was so upset with me that I would want to spend it all right then and there. that we had gotten this huge argument. I was telling her that this is my money. I can spend it however I want to. And she would, you know, and so then, oh, we just got in this terrible, terrible conflict. So,
and you know, the average
that's not a real fun way to start off a honeymoon.
Every couple in here started off with some arguments. And not all of them is going to admit it tonight, but some of them will. Yeah. And in fact, I don't know how many of you have this kind of thing, but in my home, if we're both working, my money is our money, and her money is her money.
You know, which is such a good point. And so after this first break, we're going to get back in to understand more differences.
Don't go away. There's a lot more to talk about. This is Small Talk. Coming to you direct from the Showboat Branson Bell in Branson, Missouri, it's Small Talk. Here's Gary, Greg, and Michael.
Thank you. Well, thanks. Well, before the break, we're talking about differences in relationships, and we spoke a little bit about just family of origin, ways that we grew up in our family that affects our relationships, but there's plenty more. There's gender differences, there's personality differences, there's societal differences. So I know that we had a great question from one of our audience members, so we're going to, as we start off, take that question.
I first have a name for Michael from Doctor and Doctor. Yours is Master Michael.
Ah, ooh. I like that. Great. That's Michael
all,
Smalley.
That's all he needed to know.
Narcissists we'll just like those kinds of things.
We'll just reverse it. Instead of Michael Smalley, M.A., it's Master Michael Smalley.
Yeah, let's I think that. I could live with that.
Okay.
King, maybe? Sultan? Right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm a product of divorce, and I've also been divorced, and so my children are divorced. Okay, they have also divorced. Now we have grandchildren that are growing up in these generations of divorce. I call it, it's kind of an option of divorce. How do you think we can de-glamorize this option for divorce? I already have my answer, but I want to hear what you have to say. It's kind of a two-part question because the next one is, would you advise staying together for the children?
So you're asking for the grandkids now how to stop this?
How
to glamorize divorce? Okay. Where they don't think that's just an easy option.
Or that's a normal thing you're going to do.
Right.
Great question.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Once again, he looks at us.
Well, I know that for me, as you're talking about, maybe divorce has become a real glamorous thing. I know through the news media, TV shows, movies, whatever it is. And one of the first things, you know, that I get excited about is there's so many states and cities who are really coming on board doing marriage and parenting skills, requiring premarital education, doing these things for the sole purpose of really helping couples, helping families understand how destructive divorce can be on the family. So really letting people know that this isn't glamorous. As a matter of fact, different things will happen as a result of divorce, and really being honest and taking a serious look at what is going on, the effects of divorce, because they are many.
I emailed a girl in high school today who's a distant relative who just emailed me and said, I feel so uncomfortable because my mom and dad divorced, my sister divorced, I don't feel comfortable. What am I going to do because this boy wants to date me, but I don't feel free to do that because I'm so afraid of this whole thing. I emailed her back and said, just relax, enjoy dating this young man, because when you get serious, there's enough information today that I know and enough other sources that I know that we will give those to you so that you could stay married for the rest of your life, because it's a whole new day and age. And incidentally, when you come from a divorced home, you increase your chances of divorcing because of one major threat. It's unresolved anger. That anger that you feel towards mom and dad that never gets resolved. Well, we know how to do that today. We know how to help a couple get in training. We have tests available that show you what to do. So it's a new day and age. So it's pretty exciting. And that's part of what this whole show is about, is giving that information out.
And even beyond that, it's how do I break that generational bond, really, of people after people divorcing? And it starts with understanding that we're not victims. That just because my parents did it, because my brother's doing it, I am in control of what I do. And it really boils down to choices. And it's saying, what do I want to do? Do I want to stay married and be satisfied? Then what do I have to do that, which we're saying tonight? You have to learn skills. The simple reality is you can break the chains. It's easy.
Yeah, see, we did that kind of thing. When they were growing up, my mom and dad had a miserable marriage. So we were, in a sense, going that same way. I mean, first 5 years, she and I were arguing pretty readily and unhappy about a lot of things and fussing in this, and then got kids. Now we have all kinds of new problems. So we got together as a family when they were even like 3 and 4 years old and said, do you guys want to have the kind of marriage and family where we really love each other, we're really getting along, we're best friends? They all said yes. And I said, why don't we then
go camping?
Yeah.
Yeah.
we've heard this one.
Well, that did us a lot of good.
Said, let's start a whole new generation. You guys want to be a part of the team where we're together and say, let's start a whole new team, a whole new generation. Break the cycle of the past and make some decisions and start forward.
The cycle by making choices, and that's one of the biggest things I respected about him, because I knew he talked and shared with millions of people his life growing up, and I thought, how is this possible that this man has grown to be so loving? And time again, it was making choices.
And again, we're going to talk more about differences when we get back from the break.
Don't touch that scan dial. We'll be right back with more Small Talk. We'll be right back. Here we are again, live from the Showboat Branson Bell in Branson, Missouri. This is Small Talk. Here's Greg, Gary, and Michael.
Thank you. And again, you know, as we keep talking about throughout the program, just differences and how important it is to understand differences as we deal with conflict. You know, something that I found so interesting, just thinking about differences, is that when we talk about intimacy, that women usually define intimacy much differently than men do. And I know that's surprising to us, but I've had to learn this the hard way. But
hey, what is it?
Well, women typically define intimacy as verbal communication. I know that my wife loves it when I come home after a long day and really share details about what I've done throughout the day. And I hate sharing details because I want to do something. Because men, on the other hand, usually define intimacy as shared activities. And so early on in our relationship, Erin used to get hacked at me when I would want to sit around and watch TV with her. She used to think, well, what's intimate about watching TV?
Because we're doing something.
Exactly, because we were doing something.
Yeah.
That's true. Uh-huh. Reruns of Gilligan Island is not her favorite thing to do.
Not her idea.
So, but isn't that interesting, though, just a difference there and how quickly conflict can result from just that difference alone.
And the one point we're making today is we are all uniquely different. And because we're different, we're going to get into natural conflict, arguments, mm-hmm. disagreement. And we want to emphasize that over and over.
Well, it looks like we have yet another question, so.
Well, gentlemen, my question is one that's directed towards, you know, I realize that we're two individuals going together to being as one, and me and my wife are very newly married and have a new child, but where is it that we set aside that individuality that to grow together as one? I mean, just how far is it that we go that it's healthy before we lose sight of what it is that we are for ourselves, that the other found attractive about us? You know, because sometimes I'm already finding that.
You're finding that
scared and lost.
She wants to change you?
Well, not necessarily.
It won't work.
It's not going to happen.
Go ahead and start changing because, you know.
But no, just you know, how do we let go and yet at the same time remain true to who we've been before I ever met my wife?
And absolutely, great question, because it's in what really we're trying to say is we're not trying to encourage anybody to let go of who they are, let go of their identity, who they are as a person, their self-esteem, these kinds of things, because it's kind of like you're weaving together two colors. If you are blue and she's yellow, the marital color, the unity that we're talking about is green. Is that the right color?
Correct? I don't know. I wouldn't have gone there.
Let's pretend that is the right color combination.
That's it.
But what we're trying to do is it's that weaving together of the blue and the yellow to make the relationship unity.
But they always stay yellow and they always stay
blue.
Yes. And if not, otherwise you get a controlling relationship where one loses their identity, and usually that only lasts maximum 5 years.
Yeah. Because you know what that boils down to? It boils down to a concept that we teach a lot called honor. And within honor, what that means is valuing the other person just a little bit more than you value yourself. And so if you value your mate, you're not going to want them to be someone different than who they are.
And
you're
going
to want them to express their individuality.
And honor's a great point. We can pick it up there back from the break.
We got a lot more coming up.
This is Small Talk.
Direct from Branson, Missouri, you're listening to Small Talk. Here's Gary, Greg, and Michael.
Michael, before the break, you were talking about such an important point in some of the questions even hit on this. How do we begin to really understand the whole area of differences and how that leads to conflict? And I think that what you were talking about is really the key where we begin, and that's the whole idea of honor.
Well, the foundation to everything we will ever teach and to the foundation to any skill that you ever learn is the concept and the principle of honor. And again, just to remind you, what honor is valuing your mate at an extremely high level. It's saying that you are the most important thing in the world to me. It's when they walk in the door going, oh, wow, I'm
thing
in the presence.
Or person? Thing?
Well, it could be thing or,
okay,
or person,
right, okay,
depending on what kind of mood you're in. But the essence of it, and especially when we're talking about differences, and you know what's so amazing? It's usually the differences in our personalities that attract us to one another, that blend us to one another. We think, wow, that guy, you know, is so different than what I am and so fun. And because I know that was what my wife was thinking. Boy, he's so full of energy and so funny and has, you know, is always doing all sorts of different things. Well, as we got married and started progressing in our relationship, suddenly that wasn't so fun anymore. And so suddenly I wasn't just fun and energetic. I was hyper and out of control.
ADD, I think it's called, the technical
irresponsible
term.
Irresponsible started coming out in her tongue. I thought, wait a second, you used to say I was fun-loving. Well, I don't care about that anymore. Just because we were bouncing checks, I mean, is that important?
Hey, my wife is right here, Norma Jean, okay?
Yes.
5 years into our, was it 5 years into our marriage where you brought all the checkbooks and all the bills? Was it 5 years?
Or about 1 week, maybe?
No, it was 5 years. And I had this policy that I had a check and she had a checkbook, okay? And I wrote checks hoping we had money in the accounts, okay?
An optimist.
I just had one account.
And, you're an optimist.
Yeah, and so this one day she came after she had so many tears through the first 5 years and dumped all the bills and all the checks in my lap and said, here, this is yours. If we sink, go under, it's going to be yours. I can't live like this anymore, because she used to work at the Bank of America, detailed, organized, orderly, not me.
Your idea of balancing the checkbook was just switching banks when things got out of control.
Exactly.
So.
That's really what I did, actually.
I know that. That's where I learned it.
But I never...
From the master.
I never taught you those things.
And my wife didn't like that either. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what that's about.
But now, what attracted me to her as we were dating?
How organized, your accountant, that's for sure.
Stable, consistent, all those things. What irritated each other, what irritated us actually with each other after we were married? My spontaneity, my off-the-wallness, and her used to take her 2 weeks to do something spontaneous. So... That irritated me because you're so orderly.
And I even sense that there's going to be a conflict after this show.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what gives me that impression.
Now I love it, okay? But I used to shoot an idea because I have an idea every hour, and she'd take her little shotgun, imagine her shot, and go... It was like, you know, those... What do you call those things? Trap shooting?
Crap shooting?
Trap.
Oh, trap.
That's right.
And I'm not familiar with crap shooting, but...
A little plague pigeon.
Maybe they did that in the hills.
Every one of those were my ideas. It's used to, but you know why? Because she wanted the details, and I just wanted the idea. So anyway, we were different. But you know what? Now that's so different. We've been married 36 years. She now is I'm the dreamer still, but she is the dream maker.
Yes,
that's true. Again, there's so many, we could go on and on in terms of just differences.
Well, I could go on and on.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't going to put it quite that way, because I know we were talking about honoring and how that beginning to honor someone is really the first step in really learning how to deal effectively with differences. Another difference that came to mind was that, I think you've taught this from time to time, is that the average man speaks about 15,000 words every day, somewhere around there?
10 to 15, thereabouts.
And the average woman speaks about?
25.
That's right.
1,000.
I've usually used up mine and all the reserve by the time I get home. And so
they're just starting.
That's
they're
right.
They're just warming up.
So there's all places that the conflict can creep in a relationship in terms of our differences.
And it is. Again, what's so amazing is that we lose sight of why those differences are so valuable in our relationship. It's what makes you unique. And the best part, because again, I married, and we'll get into this in the next show, but I married a very high beaver. That's one of our more detailed, organized type personalities. Again, I'm a very off-the-wall otter. So by marrying Amy, what that allows me to do is to grow personally. Because how would I become, or how would I add these beaver traits to my personality if I wasn't living with one 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? No, that's a good thing. Because what it does is it stretches me. Because she does things that I'm not used to. And if we had enough time, I would get into some of those things.
You know, and one thing that we can do when we come back from the break is really talk about, okay, so we're different, so what?
We're talking about your family. There's more to come. This is Small Talk. If you'd like to contact us by internet, click on www.smalltalkradio.com. Welcome back with Gary, Greg, and Michael. This is Small Talk.
All right, guys, let's get real for a second. We talk about differences in relationships. There's been so much written on. Dr. John Gray wrote the book that's so popular. We all know that we're different, but really, so what? Why is it important for a couple who maybe are struggling with conflict, why is it so important for them to understand differences?
I don't know. You tell me.
Asked the question.
No, obviously, yeah. Where'd you come up with that thought?
About this
Did we
one.
Talk about that yes. before? Oh, yeah. What is it? Remind me again what I said earlier.
I know what it is. One of the reasons why it is so important, and this is really our next show tomorrow, but the reason it's so important is because we have found that couples instantly, their own sense of value instantly increases, okay? You also understand that your mate is not doing this stuff on purpose, that this is in their genes in a sense, okay? And so it's so much more helpful for my wife to know that if I'm a little sloppier than she is around the house, that it's not that I'm doing this on purpose, although we've been married 36 years, so I'm getting it down little by little, right?
Or she's given up the hope that she'll ever clean, so.
Well, you know what?
I'm a lot better than I used to be, let's put it that way.
Yeah, again, and the big key to that, it's like, so what? So we're different. We all know that, duh, kind of that whole idea. But it's when we start thinking that our way of behaving, our way of interpreting the world around us is the right way. That is when we get into trouble.
Preach it, brother.
Because I know that my wife is wrong when she does the things. But that's
the problem.
You just
say that because she's not here tonight.
I know. So. I can say that because she's sick. And, well, sick, you know, physically, not necessarily mentally or anything like that. Now I'm in big trouble.
No.
And this is what happens when I start free associating. But no, it's when we start believing that our way of thinking is the right way and our mate is wrong. Because remember, the world is made up with a lot of colors, a lot of different people, and there is more than one way to do something.
And like we will say in a further program, the number one cause of divorce and weaker marriages in America, the number one, is when you belittle your mate by communicating that your thinking, your opinion, your concern, your thinking is just a little bit more superior than your mate's. And when that comes out, that causes the most damage.
You know, when I think about just differences and why that's so important, here's what's interesting. I believe that it's so important because what it does is the moment we start to understand the unique differences, it automatically increases our understanding. It's that, so that's who you are. Wow, I didn't even realize that. The moment we begin to understand someone at a deeper level, we instantly have more empathy, we become more empathic, which increases our tolerance for that person. So it increases understanding, increases empathy, and increases tolerance.
And
that's why I think it's so
value.
Important.
And speaking of increasing understanding, one of our audience members has a question.
My husband, I'll tell his age and I'll tell mine, so I guess I can tell his. He's 65, I'm 61, and we are fairly newlyweds. I don't think, have 36 years to work these things out, so we need help now.
So you got to get going now.
Yeah.
Time is ticking.
He had 41 years experience with his late wife of being a good husband and a thinking in terms of two. Now, I was 59 and getting married for the first time, so you need to tell me something I can do to quit thinking in terms of one person. And, you know, people used to say you're too set in your ways. I now know the meaning of that.
What a great question. And when we come back from our next break, then we're going to answer that.
We're not done talking. You're listening to Small Talk. It's the show with the answers to your questions. The doctors are in, Gary, Greg, and Michael. This is Small Talk.
Well, just before break, we had a great question of a couple who just got newly married, and her husband is in his 60s, and she is also in her 60s. This was your first marriage, right, ma'am? And so she was wondering, you know, I was single for 59 years, so how can I possibly not be stuck in my own ways and to be able to value the uniqueness of us together?
You know, Michael, I just read something that they asked a child who's about 8 years old, what's the best age to get married? And this child who's, again, about 7 or 8 said, 84. Because of that age, you don't have to work anymore and you can spend all your time in your bedroom loving each other.
That's
so
cool.
There you go. You know what?
We'll just bring on the young.
And one of the best things that you've already done, which is so amazing, you might know this or you might not, but I wanted to point this out for our audience here and our listening audience, is you've recognized that maybe I am stuck in my ways, and you have decided to say that I want to do it differently. And the first step that we always have to do during this process is to even be able to recognize it, to say, you know what? I need help in this, so I'm going to ask, I'm going to seek, and I will change. And you are already on the road towards change. So there is a lot of hope for you to figure out how can I start valuing him, and how can I start bringing the uniqueness of us together.
Plus, one of the most exciting things about this is that next week, our whole week will be dedicated to a communication method that we call Love Talk, L-U-V. And we'll go through this communication method, dissect it so everyone can see how you take ordinary disagreements, conflicts, things that you're setting your way, and to be able to blend that with your mate. Because it's not complicated, but it is fun to do because you see the results immediately. So that's the future. And we have this method in two books that we offer. One is called Secrets to Lasting Love, and the other one's called Bound by Honor. Both of them have this method called Love Talk, or drive-through listening, we call it, where it's the same method you use when you go to McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, any of those fast food restaurants. And so you'll see that I don't care what age you are when you got married, you can use the same Love Talk in any context.
And you can always learn.
And here's what's interesting. We ran a survey at our Life Seminar and asked about 5,000 of the attendees, what was the best thing about your engagement time? And you know what the number one response was that we began to understand one another. And something that I do when I'm working with a couple in a clinical setting is I encourage them to earn a PhD in your spouse. In other words, learn everything you can possibly about your spouse. And I think that is where we begin. We begin by understanding what are the differences, gender, personality, all those things, and earn a PhD in our spouses. Gentlemen, any final thoughts?
Everyone out there in the listening world and here in the audience is starting to recognize that maybe those differences I found irritating before, maybe the things that I don't enjoy as much anymore, that can change as long as I make the decision to change and choose to honor and value my mate.
We'll be back once again. This is Small Talk.